On the Big Sports Breakfast, let's take a closer look at what's happening in the world of soccer. Thanks to Wideline Windows and Doors, Parramatta, Tuggerah, Broadmeadow, Rosebery and Port Macquarie.
Yeah, time now to talk a little bit of football with Phil Moss and Mossy. A lot of disappointed Leeds United fans this morning.
There are, Loz. Can we get to that in a sec? Because I've got a bone to pick with TK.
Yes, go ahead.
What's happened now?
Well, I'm driving in here this morning and you got Jamie Rogers in here. Yes. And I heard you say that she's your favourite.
Oh, I know.
And well, I heard Loz say he says that to everyone.
He does. To
except,
all the girls.
Except for me. He even says it to Robbie Slater.
No, I'm with you. He jumped camp. He went.
No,
I don't know.
I'm
about
with
that.
The Moss Dog,
mate. Every morning I walk in here, I flip a coin. So anyway,
that's probably fair enough. I can't argue against that.
But I can't understand why Jamie's more your favourite than me.
We have enjoyed the last couple of weeks. Good viewing times for us, mate. We had those wonderful Champions League matches, and we've had two really good Championship League playoff. But I think we were all cheering for Leeds. 15 years they haven't been involved in the Premier League. It's going to be 16 now.
That's right. And you saw the act of sportsmanship or stupidity, depending on what side of the fence you're on, with Bielsa the other week. Interesting because, you know, fifth and sixth have made the playoff. So they've knocked out third and fourth in West Brom and West Brom and Leeds, which puts Aston Villa with our Mile Jednak and Derby into the playoff, which is the richest game in world football, because obviously at the end of it, the winner goes to the EPL. So, they join Norwich and Sheffield United, and there's massive interest around that because the Championship is not an easy league. That is a very, very tough league. They play a lot of games. We've had Jackson Irvine as an example in it. He can play up to 75 games of football in a season with the Cups and the Championship and Socceroos commitments as well. So it's quite remarkable. But, that should be a cracker. That's next Tuesday morning our time, the playoff. Should be a cracker.
Well, do you know money-wise what it's worth? It doesn't really matter because you've got to go and spend all your money on the players anyway.
Yeah, I think it's over 100 mil, I think.
Yeah, it's six. Yeah. A lot of money. But then you go and you got to spend all that to get the players again.
That's right. And you've got to spend it wisely.
Yeah, that's the aim.
You've got to make some pretty good decisions.
Yeah.
But, so that should be a cracker next Tuesday morning.
I'll tell you what will be a cracker. The A-League Grand Final, Perth Glory and Sydney FC. Sydney FC were magnificent on the weekend. Mm. What about Perth Glory? Was that a bit of a hiccup for them against Adelaide going to a penalty shootout? Or is that what they probably needed, a tough sort of game into the grand final?
I think they needed a tough game. I don't know if they needed 120 minutes and penalties and the emotional roller coaster that they had to ride.
Yep.
I think that will have taken, as much as Tony Popovich will be trying to get them back down to earth quickly. Sydney are on the other side of it. Where this is where the subplots leading into the game, I think, are intriguing because Sydney had the scoreline didn't suggest the scoreline was masked how difficult the game was for Sydney.
Yeah.
Right. So they didn't have their foot off the pedal and smoke cigars. They were at full tilt for at least 80 minutes to get that scoreline of 6-1, and they played exceptionally well. They pressed exceptionally well. So it was a perfect dress rehearsal for the grand final.
Yep.
Perth, on the other hand, I thought they were deserved winners, but it goes back to my point a few weeks ago. I think 1 and 2 getting that first week off can be a disadvantage.
Disrupts the momentum.
It disrupts the momentum and the rhythm. And if you look at Perth, if you look at the
aren't they
the
both
second,
in the grand final?
Yeah, that's right. They are.
So how is it a disadvantage?
Because it depends how you manage it. Now, Sydney FC had Asian Champions League, so they still had their players playing. Perth, if you look at the penultimate round of the A-League, Tony Popovich played Sydney. He rested players. He rested a lot of players. He played them in the last round. The next week was off. And the next week was a semi-final. So really, his main players, generally speaking, had played 2 games in a month leading into that semi-final.
Well, the proof will be in the pudding on Sunday with the result, whether
it's
worked or whether it hasn't. But there's great news. Well, I don't know whether it's great news if you're Sydney FC supporters, but Optus Stadium, they've already sold 50,000 tickets. It looks as though there's going to be a full house. That will only add to the excitement and the atmosphere. And usually, when there's a big crowd, the players produce.
Definitely. And I remember going with the Mariners and when Arnie was in charge up to Suncorp, and there was 51,000 there, and we had probably 3,000 or 4,000 Mariners fans. But the atmosphere, and we're up 2-0, unlosable grand final, that's all history. But we definitely fed off the atmosphere in the ground, whether they were our supporters or
mate, I've got to say, I think it was the GF between Mariners and Wanderers at Allianz. And, mate, yeah. You didn't have to be a soccer fan to enjoy
That's right.
it. You know, it
was
unbelievable.
Phenomenal.
Even Bozza, I think, said the equal to any sort of atmosphere, even from the UK, although that Liverpool one looked pretty special last week.
Yeah, that was incredible. But the point is... Optus Oval. So I think you mentioned earlier in the week, Loz, it's an oval.
Yeah.
It's not rectangular. The way they dress the stadiums up these days, it kind of looks it rectangular, but should be an incredible atmosphere. It's great to see WA have really embraced this, and Perth Glory have captured the imagination over there of fans who aren't genuine dyed-in-the-wool football fans, and that's what grand finals should do.
By the sounds of things, you're leaning towards Sydney FC. Now, is that heart or is it head?
It's both, and that's honest. I've really looked at it. I was out there the other night at the Sydney game. I went to the sheds afterwards, so I saw the players and how they handled that victory. And, you know, when you've got leaders like Alex Brosk, Alex Wilkinson, Milos Ninkovic, those types, they were straight in the dressing room last week, and they were straight into preparation mode. I think Perth, from what I saw on the TV, it was a whole heap of... emotion, relief in getting there, because they haven't been to, you know, they haven't won a grand final in the A-League. Sydney FC have got the experience of doing it quite a few times.
How would Popovic be feeling? You know, he's never won the grand final.
He's
been there three times.
He's lost.
How would he be feeling this week? And would his demeanour change? You know him well. Would he be up and about, or would he be trying to sort of play it down and not sort of be too concerned about his stats in losing
Pop
those big games?
Pop is a realist. This is where it became tricky for him. So when Sydney FC played Sunday, so he came down for that game. The awards night was Monday night, so already he's away from it. So he would have flown back on the red eye probably Monday night. It got back there Tuesday. Actually, I think he was flying back Tuesday. So that's...
You lose a day.
So you lose... Well, there's three days out of his preparation straight away, just with grand final festivities and seeing the game before him. But I think he will keep it very normal. But he'll also embrace the fact that it's a one-team town. So, you know, for the promotion of the game, Perth have to embrace the festivities that go around the grand final. But you've got to find that right balance, because your energy, as you know... can be sat before we kick off.
And that's going to be the hardest thing for Perth, is the expectation that now comes with finishing first, winning the Premier's plate. Then that dramatic way that they won last weekend, and the hype around the city, and 65,000 people, and all of a sudden there's more interest and there's more interviews that players have to do. And, yeah, if you take your mind off the job for just, that
split second
or... whatever, you can lose your focus.
That's
something that they'll have to deal with.
But if you look at the game itself, I cannot wait to see Castro versus Ninkovic. I can't wait to see Keogh versus Lafondra. Mm. You know, there's so many little one-on-one battles over the pitch. It's just going to be absolutely great viewing. So it should be a bumper of a grand final.
And pretty strange for me, though. I thought the Sydney FC were good value at $2.90. They're now $3. So they've eased a little bit in the market there. But you're tipping Sydney FC to be victorious. $3 up against Perth. $2.30. What about a scoreline?
You know what? I can see it going to extra time. And I can see Sydney winning it in extra time, with some extra legs.
What about full time? So it'll be a draw at full time. You've got a 1-1
I'll go 1-1. 1-1. I think they'll both score. 1-1 at full time, and Sydney FC to win 2-1 in extra time.
Okay, there you go. They're the tips there from Phil Moss. Good on you, Mossy.
Thanks,
always
guys.
Good to see you.
Good on you. Have a great weekend.